Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out right here on KUCI. And let's see, I have a fantastic guest to share with you. Lindy West, New York Times bestselling author of Shrill, has come out with a new book that is fantastic called Adult Braces, Driving Myself Sane. She's a best-selling author, humorist, and cultural critic whose work blends sharp wit and big ideas. From her memoir, Shrill, to her latest book, as I mentioned, Adult Braces, she's also a TV writer, podcaster, and one of the funniest voices writing about life, culture, and how we live it. She is joining us now. Good morning, Lindy.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in. I'm really excited to dive into your new book.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to talk to you.
For people who don't know, tell me your backstory as a writer. Did you write as a kid? Is this something you picked up later on?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was always a reader as a kid. I just read obsessively. I read every book I could find. I read the same books over and over. I read new books. And I remember thinking that writers must be just the most magical people in the world. So, you know, I definitely was always writing little stories and making little books, but it was kind of beyond my wildest dreams that I could be one of those special people.
Really?
But then, you know, I graduated from high school and I went to college and I was an English major, and I kind of came out of college with no other skills besides knowing how to use language.
Okay.
And so I went and I got an internship at the Alt Weekly in my hometown, Seattle, The Stranger. And then still thinking, like, I don't know if I'm a writer. I don't know if I have what it takes.
Imposter
but
syndrome.
They,
big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they trusted me. They gave me little tiny assignments, and I did a good job. And then they really taught me how to be a writer and fostered me there. And eventually, all of a sudden, I'd been there 5 years, and I was on the editorial staff. And
fantastic.
I would say it wasn't until 20 years after that, maybe, that I, or I guess 15 or so years after that, that I really believed that I was a writer.
You're so
it may
funny.
Just be starting now, but
come on.
But yeah, it was just it was in retrospect. I don't know that my path could have led anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. So tell me, how do you blend, you know, your real stories with humor? You know, being your authentic self with humor.
Well, I don't know any other way. I think humor is such a powerful coping mechanism, and it's certainly my coping mechanism of choice. And so it's really natural for me to reach for jokes when I'm writing about something serious, when I'm trying to process something complicated or challenging in my life. What I do is make jokes about it. And that,
yeah.
And so it's almost a fault. Like, I don't know how to write serious things without also trying to be funny.
Yeah, no, that's good, though.
But, you know, like, life is funny, so.
It is.
That's just how I see the world, and so that's how I write.
Yeah. It feels like one big script where it's like, you know, you think something is going to be great, and then you just hit rock bottom, or it's something comes out at you, and you're like, what? This is ridiculous, you know? And there's constant curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
Constant.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, always.
Always. So you share your story in this book, Adult Braces. You hit rock bottom. And how did you find your way out and decide what parts of your life you wanted to share in this book?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a boring answer, but I started going to therapy.
Okay,
which is
no, that's
really
good.
yeah, and really, I had gone a couple times here and there earlier in my life, but I really committed to it once I found myself a little bit in crisis in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And I also kind of committed myself to reconnecting with my life before I was married. So, you know, a lot of the book is about kind of losing myself in my relationship, and then and then spending time pursuing and searching for feelings that I used to remember having before I was together with my husband. So, like, just spending tons of time with friends, spending lots of time alone, you know, decorating my office in a way that maybe wasn't stylish, but that made me happy, you know, buying funny little figurines and weird art and not trying to make a life that other people would be impressed by, but a life that felt like me. And then also in the book, and this is sort of the main driving narrative of the book, I go on a road trip in a van, and I drive from Seattle to Key West, Florida, and back by myself in a camper van, and I sleep in the van, and I camp, and I spend time outside and many, many hours alone driving through America. And that was very, very clarifying for me.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a long, slow process of prioritizing myself and my real self, not the self that I construct to please other people.
Yes. When you talk about being alone, do you see that there's a gift in that, just kind of silencing all the noise?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sometimes the noise gets louder when you're alone.
True.
Because sometimes the noise is coming from inside the head. I think that I have some issues around feeling, you know, judged. Like when you're a fat person, everyone's always watching you. They're paying attention to what you're eating. They're looking at your body. They look at you and they see whatever they want to see about, like, why do you look like that? What you must be feeling, what your life must be like.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of surveillance and a lot of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that being alone, and specifically being alone in the van, I just got to be unobserved.
Yeah.
I got to be, you know, in a quiet space with myself. And I wasn't worrying about who was looking at me. And, you know, I was in a faraway part of the country where I didn't know anyone. And, yeah, to have this sort of breathing room free from judgment and feel kind of in control of my own destiny because I'm literally at the wheel, it was very healing and therapeutic.
Did you feel like you learned to love yourself more?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it was hard. It's not like I had a great time every day. Sometimes I was lonely and sometimes I was like, what am I doing? Why am I here in the middle of nowhere, like alone? Why am I not at my house?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I asleep in a pretty uncomfortable bed in the back of a van? But then even those moments created sort of, I don't know, a foundation to have these really beautiful moments, like when things would suddenly, you know, you'd come over a hill and then the horizon would open up and you'd see this beautiful view. Or, you know, there were a couple times where I met up with friends and had just an incredible, completely joyful, you know, 2 days swimming in the ocean.
Oh,
you know, like
beautiful.
It was sort of like you need both. Like, I feel like a thing that I learned was when I was at home, I just sort of cocooned myself in easy comforts all the time.
Yes.
And when you do that, or at least for me, then pleasure ceased to have much value because I was just always kind of staying comfortable and swaddled. And what I really wanted was to be outside at a campground, like kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because then I got to see the sunrise. I mean, it sounds corny, but
No, it doesn't. You know, on my drive to the station today, I was thinking about gratitude. Today I get to come to UCI, host a show, talk to Lindy. You know, I feel like we get too comfortable, especially post-pandemic, because we were used to cocooning, that we don't embrace newness, and we need the unexpected. We need social health. We need these experiences.
Yeah. Totally. And this experience came right on the heels of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was June 2021, so we're still pretty much solidly in the pandemic. And I really was feeling exactly that. I was feeling like kind of socially shut down, very, very isolated, kind of like bored and,
yeah,
and like suffocated, you know?
Yes.
And I wanted to, just drive and see where the road took me.
I think that's great. That's great advice, really, for anyone at any time in their life, because sometimes we get into this passive existence where there's nothing we're looking forward to. We're just, you know, binge watching. We're home. We're not living our fullest life. And I'm not saying you have to be an achiever. I'm just talking about, as you said, you know, going out there and being with people and seeing things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, like, you know, I think that, look, everyone's fullest life can look different, but I definitely started to suspect that there was maybe more for me out there.
Mm-hmm.
and it turned out I was right. And I was really happy with what I found, even though it was hard and sometimes scary.
So what did that mean when you came back from your trip?
Well, I mean, it meant that I immediately was like, okay, I need to do this every summer. Sorry, I only live here 11 months a year because one month a year I need to be on the road,
sure.
Although I have not managed to actually do that. But I think I came back with, again, you know, having now had some contrast away from home. I was really appreciative of my home and my family and friends and my people and my routine. And it was sort of fun and exciting to rediscover all of those comforts.
Mm-hmm.
With kind of a refreshed heart, you know. I felt like I was able to participate in my life in the way that I had always wanted to. And of course, that comes and goes too. Like, I am a person with depression and
mm-hmm.
anxiety, and sometimes, you know, it's not like that feeling just stayed.
No.
I still have to work for it, and
yes.
Sometimes I have to go find it again. But
yes.
At least I know that it's there now, and I have a roadmap for how to find it.
Definitely. Well, I feel like things like depression, anxiety, they don't necessarily go away fully. They can be dormant, and so knowing what to do when they resurface, sometimes it's certain times of the year that trigger people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I can't tell. It might seem to be random.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mind when it's, you know, I grew up in Seattle. I don't mind when it's gray and rainy. I find that kind of cozy.
That's
sometimes
nice.
I'm depressed when it's sunny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe someday I'll figure out what my trigger is. But
so far,
I'm just playing it by ear.
Yeah. So my show is called Get the Funk Out.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Thank you.
I'm working on it.
So what do you do when you do find yourself in a funk? Do you have certain rituals you do, certain things you now do better?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are things that I know work for me, so, like, journaling is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up in the morning and just starting the day, because I am a person, I can kind of sleep an indefinite amount. But, you know, when I'm at my best, I am setting my alarm for 8 o'clock and getting up no matter what, which I don't like. It's very hard and annoying, but, because I have like a weird job where I don't have hours. I'm kind of always working and always flexible.
Okay.
But, you know, going outside, going for a walk, like, I started hiking every week in, I think, 2022. And that was really hugely transformative for me. And also, sometimes I'll just go for a drive.
Mm-hmm.
I really find driving meditative. And like I said, I feel really safe in the car. And I feel, like emotionally safe. Obviously, you're not that physically safe in the car, but I find it really grounding. And so, I don't know, for example, like, when I finished writing this book, which is a very emotional book, it's really vulnerable and personal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished writing it, and submitted the final manuscript, I just took the car and I went out for the day, and I drove to the basically to the top of a mountain near where we live, and I just sat there in the wind and looked at the view and mm-hmm. got cold and mm-hmm. and sort of felt, I don't know, cleansed by it.
Sure.
and reinvigorated. Like I just yeah. think it's really important to me to get it, to have a change of scenery, I guess yeah. is what I'm saying, for
definitely.
A reset every once in a while.
Yes.
And to go do something that feels a little bit like a ritual or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to drive to the mountains, and I'm going to like sit on a bench and shiver and reset. And then when I go back to my life, it's like a page yeah. has turned, you know?
Well, that's actually interesting, because you physically change the way you feel by being cold or whatever it is, being uncomfortable, and you come
yeah.
home. And maybe there's a certain level of gratitude, or just feeling like, okay, as you said, it was cleansing. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know about you, but when I've written a book or two or anything, I feel like that felt so good to get it out there, to be done, to just clear
exactly.
clear my
yeah.
mind, right? Put it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that idea of like, yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that, but going out and feeling cold and sort of like, it's like shedding a skin or something.
Yeah.
Like feeling a physical transformation in your body that mirrors this, you know, emotional transformation you're going through in like by letting this book go out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense to me, and that feels right, I think.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's a very strange, vulnerable moment to say, okay, I'm not going to, I can't change this anymore.
Right.
I can't work on this anymore.
Yeah.
It's scary.
And think about it, just sitting on a bench being a little chilly versus jumping in an ice bath.
Right, exactly. Everything in moderation.
Exactly, yeah.
Being chilly on a bench, that's my preference.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. Were there certain comedians or writers or anyone in your life that really inspired you to speak your mind and just be authentic?
Oh, I mean, my answer is always the same, and she's also someone that I visit in the book,
mm-hmm.
but Samantha Irby is my favorite writer.
Yeah.
She writes essays. She writes really, really, really funny collections of essays. And she's also a dear friend of mine. And in Adult Braces, one of the last stops on my road trip is Kalamazoo, and I spend a few days there with Sam. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I was a fan before she became my friend, and I just would urge anyone to go read Samantha Irby if you haven't. She's so funny and smart and insightful. And she also writes a really funny newsletter where she recaps episodes of the television show Judge Mathis, and
so funny.
There's no one doing anything funnier on the internet. So
that is so funny. Oh my gosh,
she's my idol.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So,
yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share with listeners without giving too much away about Adult Braces?
I mean, it's a book about a lot of things. There's a storyline in there that's, you know, an important part of the book about my marriage and kind of my husband and I going through some pretty hard stuff and re-examining what we both want. And that's getting a lot of attention because I think people love to talk about relationships and speculate and gossip. But there's also a lot of other stuff in the book. The book's really funny. I think it's really joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely the most honest and vulnerable thing I've ever written. I don't know. I'm really proud of it, and I hope that people will give it a shot, and also I hope that if people take anything from it, it's to not assume that you know everything about yourself.
Exactly.
'Cause you probably don't. And I feel like every decade I learn that I really, really didn't have the whole picture. And
mm-hmm.
and everything I learned about myself makes my life a little bit sweeter and, you know, more fun and more fulfilling. So
I love that.
That's really what the book is about.
I love that. I kind of felt like this could be a movie.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it does, you know, a road trip, I think, lends itself really well to being a movie. And,
yes.
And yeah, my road trip is very, weirdly literal. It's like I'm going on an emotional journey and a physical journey. Mm-hmm. And then when I get home, I am transformed, and then there's a happy ending. You know, I mean, it is mm-hmm. kind of perfect.
Yes.
So we'll see. I may or may not be having some meetings, so
All right. Well, I'm going to root for the May.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Where can people find out more about you, Lindy?
Oh, great question. I have a website, lindywest.net. You can read the book Adult Braces, where you'll find out probably more than you ever wanted to know about me, but in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a podcast called Text Me Back with my best friend, who is a democracy expert in Washington, D.C., and we talk about life and, you know, we do silly stuff, and then we also talk about the news because she's really smart.
Awesome.
And it's a really, really good podcast, and you should listen to it. And you can also find me, I also have a Substack.
Okay.
I'm all over the place.
Okay.
You can get me in your email, you can get me at the bookstore, or you can get me on the podcast.
And the podcast is Text Me Back.
That's right.
Awesome. And the email newsletter is Butt News.
Sure is. I wasn't going to say it.
We can say butt. We can't say the other thing, your essay. Yeah. Something actually. Can't say that.
Yes. We won't say that.
Okay. One last question. For listeners that are feeling like they're in a funk, what advice would you give them?
Go swimming?
Okay. No, that's a great
one. That's my favorite thing to do when I'm in a funk.
That's a great one.
I don't know. Maybe hop in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're like me. Maybe hop in the car.
Yeah.
And then here's what I really wanted to do in the road trip, which I actually got to do.
Okay.
You know when you're driving to work and then you see your exit and you're like, I don't want to go to work.
Yes.
And then you're like, what if I just kept driving all the way to California or whatever?
Yeah.
If you're in Washington. You should go try it. Maybe not on the way to work, but maybe you take a day and you hop on the highway and you just see where you go.
I feel
like any kind of kick in the pants you can give yourself to get out of your routine and get out of your funk,
mm-hmm.
And like remind yourself who you were when you were a kid, you know?
Yes.
Like, what did you always want to do? What actually makes you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been, you know, I've been like buying. I bought myself like a Garfield t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Cute.
I've been just like,
that's
if
so
I
cute.
See something, if I see something that 10-year-old Lindy would have just died to have, I'm like, you know what? I'm an adult and I can have that.
You bet.
I can have that Garfield t-shirt where in a thought bubble he's thinking lasagna.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
So just see if you can get in touch with whoever that little person was and do something that makes you purely happy.
Definitely.
That's my advice.
You know, that's great advice. I was talking about this yesterday, how when we grow up or as we grow up, we lose our sense of creativity and play, and we really need that. So if a nostalgic character or game or whatever you used to like to do resonates with you, do
exactly.
it. Do it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And one, you might find that once you start, you can't stop. Which is a little bit dangerous, but
hey, I like Snoopy.
Maybe it's worth it.
I like Snoopy. I'll wear a Snoopy shirt to the station or wherever. Definitely.
Snoopy is the coolest guy.
Of course.
I was just talking to my friend Megan about this. So what a cool dude.
Absolutely.
You know?
So cool.
So, feather your nest with Snoopies.
Yes.
And you'll never be sad again.
Get that Snoopy tattoo, anything. Yes.
Exactly. I got a tattoo of Chris Farley.
You did?
Just because I did. Because I love him.
I love that.
And, you know, he's not going to get canceled at this point.
Exactly.
Rest in peace.
Right.
I was like, this is something that I purely and unironically love. And why would I not
I love
just
that.
Draw it on my skin? Who cares?
I love that. You know, I have to ask you about SNL. Did you ever watch, you know, Gilda Radner or, you know, any other characters from years ago on SNL?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have a favorite?
I mean, a favorite SNL person of all time? Or you mean like classic?
Gilda Radner.
Speaking of tattoo-worthy SNL alums.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe I'll get her next.
Oh, she's so funny. If I was ever going to sing a song, it would be Let's Talk Dirty to the Animals. Do you ever heard that song?
Yeah, totally.
Isn't
absolutely
it? Yes. Won't be singing it here today. But look it up, people. It's really funny if you're in a funk. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to put it on right now as soon as we're done.
Perfect. All right. Let me know what you think. I want to thank you so much for calling in, Lindy. I've loved this. Please stay in touch. I know there'll be more from you for sure.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye. That was Lindy West, New York Times bestselling author of Shrill. She has a new book out, Adult Braces, Driving Myself Sane. All the information is on my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, with her bio, with details about the book. She has incredible reviews from Publishers Weekly, Kirkus Reviews, Book Page, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of advanced praise as well. And what else? We will take a little break, and then I have some interesting positive news to share with you, a variety of topics. And if you're ever interested in calling into the show, I am taking pitches. You can send an email to Janene, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can visit our website, KUCI.org. We have an incredible mix of public affairs and music shows here at the station. And what else? You can visit our socials, KUCI FM. We'll take a little break and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.